there could be a rematch next year in the race for Wisconsin Attorney General. It's Wednesday, October 22nd, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, healthcare experts say missing school can exacerbate a student's struggles with anxiety. Plus, a story about Lilies of the Valley and family connection. Stay with us.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
Republican Eric Toney is running once again for Wisconsin Attorney General. As Sarah Lear reports, this sets up a possible rematch between Toney and incumbent Democratic Attorney General Josh Call.
In his campaign announcement Tuesday, Toney touted support from law enforcement and said he's running to bring, quote, conservative common sense leadership back to Wisconsin's Department of Justice. So far, Toney is the only Republican to announce his candidacy for the statewide office. The 41-year-old has spent more than a decade as Fond du Lac County's elected district attorney. 3 years ago, Toney lost a race to challenge Democratic Attorney General Josh Call by roughly 1.5 percentage points. Call announced earlier this month he would seek another 4-year term as attorney general. That ended speculation that Call might run for governor. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A man was arraigned this week after prosecutors say he made threats against the Chief Justice of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. 37-year-old Ryan Thornton of Racine faces a felony count of stalking. A Dane County judge set his bond at $85,000 on Monday. A criminal complaint describes how Thornton sent a series of sometimes nonsensical emails to Justice Jill Karofsky starting in August. In those emails, prosecutors say Thornton told Karofsky to eject herself from office and asked for her home address. According to prosecutors, Thornton also called Wisconsin's Office of Lawyer Regulation more than 70 times to complain about Karofsky and about a lawyer who represented him in an unrelated domestic violence case. Thornton's attorney did not immediately respond to a request for comment. An official at the Republican Party of Wisconsin has resigned, citing dysfunctional leadership and a lack of planning. As Rich Kramer reports, it's the latest sign of an internal power struggle in the state GOP.
Kelly Rue was the state GOP's treasurer. Her resignation letter said that after years of service, she can't continue with party leadership under current circumstances. Rue said a lack of transparency, direction, basic oversight, and budget issues has created an ineffective and absurd culture at party headquarters. Her resignation letter was shared on social media by Turning Point USA National Enterprise Director Brett Galashewski. He also serves as vice chair of the Milwaukee County Republican Party and sits on the state GOP Executive Committee. Galashewski has previously called for a takeover of the Republican Party. In his post, he called it a big shakeup and said it should be a wake-up call for Republicans. A statement from Republican Party of Wisconsin Chair Brian Schimming thanked Rue for her service and wished her luck. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Lots of parents have embraced the idea of letting their kids skip school for mental health days. But healthcare experts say allowing students to stay home from school when they have stress and anxiety can create a negative cycle. Chronic absenteeism is missing 10% of the school year or more. In Wisconsin, chronic absenteeism rates are about 18%. In Milwaukee, those numbers are closer to 50%. Superintendent Brenda Casilius addressed chronic absenteeism recently. She says children need to know they have a trusted adult who is safe and welcoming at school.
We don't just say safe and welcoming because it sounds good together. We say it because it really matters. Kids have to feel like they belong. They have to see each other and see themselves in school and have trusted adults who care for them and check in with them every day.
Research shows children who attend school regularly have better relationships with their peers and their teachers. Coming up, a story about a grandmother's devotion to her family, dreams, and flowers. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Mary Kate McCoy with the story about the Lilies of the Valley and family connection.
Lilies of the Valley are often considered a beautiful yet high-maintenance plant. For writer Nancy Jorgensen, they will forever connect her to her beloved grandmother, who found virtue in caring for them. Caregiving was deeply rooted in her grandmother. She dreamed of being a nurse, but society had different plans for a woman of her era. Jorgensen reflects on her grandmother's devotion to her family, dreams, and flowers.
It was May 1977 when my grandmother, Nana, led me to her basement, past the black iron cook stove, then the shelves of home-canned beans and beets. I sniffed the stale scent of Wisconsin wood fires and the mustiness of potatoes in storage, odors familiar to me since childhood. "Come see the lilies," Nana said as she leaned the screen door open and planted one leather shoe into her shady backyard. I was 22 and just married, but Nana's gardens still felt like home. "Bring that shovel," she said. "We'll dig some for your new house." Nana cultivated other species too, phlox, daffodils, violets, pansies. She coaxed each into a vibrant melody until her country yard trilled with color. Every year a new song, but her refrain always Lilies of the Valley. 4 decades later, Nana's darlings transform my spring landscape from a dirt and grass hoedown to a frothy white minuet. Nana has been gone many years, but her lilies still sing and sway. Nurseries call them a high-maintenance plant, but Nana considered their spreading a virtue. Their duty in life, like hers, to place roots, scatter beauty, and pass gifts on to a new generation. Lilies of the Valley thrive in shade. As a woman of the 1920s, so did Nana. Her list of chores, change diapers, weed gardens, wash floors, cast long shadows over each day. Wife and mother was not her first choice of vocation. Many years earlier, she dreamed of an education and a life devoted to healing. "I always wanted to be a nurse," she said. Instead, she lived like neighboring farm wives in her husband's shadow, reflecting warmth and light toward him. Like Nana, lilies of the valley rise early and bloom in the dawn of summer. Slender columns strut low to the ground, each boasting up to a dozen tiny flowers, pure white, only millimeters across. Of all Nana's flowers, I wonder why these captivated her the most. Was it their delicate bell shape, with round shoulders, fat waist, and frilly lip? Or their heady scent, spicy and persistent? Or was it because they required no harvest, existing only to be lovely? Lilies of the Valley symbolize rebirth, purity, youth, and happiness. But Nana delivered them to the grave of her son, a sailor in the U.S. Navy, and later her husband, who died at only 59, and then another son, whose heart suddenly gave out. In life's valleys, her lilies intoned a requiem. My 30-something daughters inherited Nana's love of gardening. Gwen, a professional athlete, sows kale, plants parsley, and nurtures her bed of mint. Elizabeth buys seedlings from her high school students who grow them in biology. For my daughters, planting is play. The stakes are low. If their gardens produce, they make a caprese salad or add chives to lettuce from the farmer's market. They have none of Nana's worries about climate's uncontrollables like rain, sun, drought, cold, or heat that could result in hungry children. 2 generations on either side of me, relishing the wonder of a seed, the beauty in a bloom, the gratification of growing. In 1921, a necessity. In 2021, an amusement. Nana's gardens became her vocation. She buried regrets and tended her plants as she would have tended patients. My daughters garden at their leisure, free to pursue their callings, teacher and writer, professional athlete, or nurse if they so choose.
Writer Nancy Jorgensen brought us that story about her fondness for Lilies of the Valley. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org. I'm Mary Kate McCoy.
This essay about Lilies of the Valley has been turned into an animation. To see it, tune to PBS Wisconsin's Wisconsin Life starting tomorrow evening at 7, or you can watch it online at wisconsinlife.org. And of course, we'll end with a quick check of your forecast. Mostly cloudy, windy, and cold today, with highs in the 40s and 50s. Wind gusts up near 25 miles per hour at times. Light rain possible in the north as well. Overnight cloudy and cool with lows in the 30s. And we could see a bit of a wintry mix in the north, with some frost possible in the south. And that'll do it for this Wednesday. Thanks for being here for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producer today was Courtney Everett. As always, have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.